Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask for an anointing upon me, the power of your Holy Spirit, to speak the words that this church needs to hear. You've directed me. You've given me a message. Help us to remove the dross that's in our life, Lord. That when you look down, you see your reflection only. That we cast aside the weights that are holding us back from doing your mission and your service, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I titled this message, Beware Caution. I had hoped to be preaching on Hebrews 11 again, but all week as I was preparing for Hebrews 11, I felt uneasy knowing what was going on. That's why you haven't seen me very interactive on GroupMe or anything. Matthew 24:4 says, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. In the Greek, that is blepo, which is to see or discern the bodily eye. To have the power of seeing, to perceive by the use of our eyes, to gaze upon, to discover, to know by experience, to observe, perceive, discover, to turn the thoughts or direct the mind to a thing, to consider, to contemplate, to look at, to weigh carefully, and to examine. And we certainly live in strange times. And it can feel as if the weight of the world is suddenly and quite heavy upon us. I have been dealing with that weight of heaviness for quite some time now, not only with what's going on, but personally, I see things crumbling very quickly. The reality is the world is being judged. Some may proclaim that God's judgment is going to fall many years from now, but they refuse to admit that God's judgment has come and his wrath could fall at any moment. And this nation and the world is filling God's cup of indignation to its brim. Today's world leaders openly admit they are planning to establish a new order by 2030, and I think if not sooner. This world ignores the existence of the one true God, Yahweh, and his son who came as a savior for it, Jesus. The spirit of Antichrist is already at work. That man of perdition is likely roaming the earth right now, waiting to reveal himself. And he will be against all things Christ, and he will be supported by a false prophet who will look like a lamb and speak like a dragon. This world is on an official public abandonment of God. They don't want him. And I'm pretty sure that the leaders of this world are surprised at how quickly things are coming together for them under the guise of a great reset. We've seen the fundamental transformation of this country. We're seeing the fundamental transformation of the world. Could one think that we are in the 2022 and that you have countries that are going to enter winter and likely lose millions of people freezing to death? We are on the precipice of great economic pain, not just in this country, but worldwide. And this will be a catalyst to push digital currency. I'm speaking on a macro level, and I will be speaking on a micro level right now, both to this church and to those listening. My job is to be a watchman. the waiting is tough. And it's going to get a lot tougher by the hour. Be it a rumor or something which could translate into a hard reality, there's more than enough happening right now to unsettle our nerves, if not keep us on our toes. There's a comment my boss talks about in business, he made me aware of. Greg, you might know that as a sales manager, but when your competition's sinking, put a hose in their mouth and turn on the water. I think there's numerous moments where we already see how much water have we drunk already. For some of you, you wonder, how are we still here with what we're seeing in the depravity on all levels? Thank God there's still goodness happening. Thank God what was at the Downers Grove Library was canceled. Many of us say, how much longer, Lord? I don't want to be in this world. And we have moments of reprieve, time with family, joy, spending time together, swimming and vacations, and the little blessings that God gives us. And I'm grateful for those moments. But our trust and faith must be greater in the Lord now than ever before. Folks, do not be fooled by the promise or the resolutions that this world offers. The birth pangs are here. They are here. They are here. And the baby, this new order, is on its way. And it has to happen. It has to happen so that that temporary order can be smashed by the eternal kingdom, ruled and reigned by the one true king of this world and this earth, and that is Jesus Christ. We are living in times of deception. And the power of words, you must bridle your tongue, folks. Be careful what you speak. The Bible says be slow to speak. Because what you speak can frame thoughts and create fears and habits for many. And because we live in unprecedented times, people grow weary. It's battle weary. Exhaustion creeps in. I told you my heart is heavy because I can feel the onslaught of the enemy and it is a full court press. There is a spirit of division that wants to come upon this church. Can you see how the structure of the current order of this world is crumbling within? It's all over the world. It's not in just one spot. We see things through the lens of America, but the reality is, step outside and read a news piece that's from another place. They see the destruction within our own country. We are heading for the great pivot, and massive change is coming. And the leaders are pushing full steam ahead. And I feel as if they are pushing us to the edge of the cliff. That which has been accomplished in the last 2 years has laid a great foundation to this system. And Jesus warned us before his coming that there would be great deception. Do you notice how each week the birth pains converge? And the changes now are more fast and swift. It's no longer, when I took over this pulpit and started preaching, I look at old notes, and it was like, yeah, things would happen every now and then. It's not every year. It's not every month. It's not even every day, folks. Things are happening by the hour. I know they saw the posts of the five red heifers being shipped to Israel. Do you know how relevant that is to prophecy? You who have the Spirit of God inside you, look at that and say, oh yeah, I know exactly what that means. The things that are listed in Matthew 24 and Luke 21 are well past the beginning stages. And we need to have a spirit of anticipation in our hearts of all who have received and accepted Jesus as their Savior. A spirit of anticipation. Because the attitudes and the characteristics of the perilous times that Paul noted in 2 Timothy are very present. And they're becoming more open now than ever before. And it is crept into the church. Matthew states that these are the beginning of the birth pangs. And the love of many will wax cold as lawlessness increases. Many will fall away from their faith. Can one truly believe in their heart that everything is as it's been from the beginning? No changes whatsoever? The world follows the Pied Piper with his song. Don't worry, a little bit longer, we'll be back to normal. Just keep holding on. I'm holding on to Jesus. Because people are becoming numb to the changes occurring in this world. And my word is watch out. Because you're being lulled and pulled into complacency. That Laodicean spirit is tugging. All the more reasons to trust in the Lord in the remaining moments, because the vast amount of gruesome taunts of the adversary, our devil, is intense that he is hurling at us. 1 Peter 5:8, sister, you confirmed it. Be sober, be vigilant, stay alert, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan loves nothing more than to devour. He loves to kill. He loves to destroy. He's the father of lies, and he loves confusion, and he loves division. Yes. He loves when Christians bicker amongst each other. He loves that because it sidetracks us from the mission he gave us, which is the Great Commission, to love a lost and dying world and lead them to Jesus. Billions of people are dying into eternal hell. Where is the focus? One breath away. It doesn't matter when Jesus comes. We are one breath away from standing before our judge. Do you understand that? That's applicable to all. All who have breath right now, a breath in their lungs. If they breathe their last breath, they don't get a second chance. They stand before the one and true maker of their soul and their life that gave them breath. Hebrews 10:23-25 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Loving people back to life. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. Are you building one another up in the faith? So much more as you see the day approaching. Do you not see the day approaching? I have proclaimed that numerous times. And many of you follow others who say the same thing. The day is approaching. When the world looks at us, are we known by our love for our King and one another? Are there differences in opinions amongst you? Yes, there is. Are we rooted in Christ or not, is the question. We are in the final moments, folks. I remember in the movie Gettysburg, the eve before the third day of the battle, there's this moment where General Lee is preparing for battle and his cavalry officer, Jeb Stuart, shows up, who's been off on escapades, and he finally shows up for the battle. He's like, "Where have you been?" And he needs him. And he gets sidetracked. He's just like, "Since you don't think, it's all this brevity. Since you don't think I can command this post," and he said, "There is no time for that. There is no time. There is no time. We need to be about Father's business, snatching brands from the fire. There is no time. You have loved ones that you love, yes, that don't know the Lord. Be both. Share." Don't get distracted. The building up of the beast system and its system and the spirit of Antichrist aims to soften our resolve and attempt to break us mentally and divide. And when we feel hopeless, we turn to Him who has an enabling power that empowers us to soak up that pressure and use it for His glory. I'm pressed on all sides, but I'm not destroyed. Praise the Lord. When the devil comes prowling, 1 Peter 5:9 says, "Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." That is intense. I watched a video the other day about people in Iran, Christians, who said, "Hey, persecution's coming. The things that your government's doing now, we already experience. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Hallelujah. The remnant remains resolved. The remnant remains steadfast by the power of God's grace through faith. His grace is sufficient for you. "For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, mostly gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then the I am is strong." With that enabling, we can stand firm for Him in spite of our occasional knocks and bumps. Yeah. Hebrews 3:1 in the Berean Study Bible says, "Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, set your focus on Jesus, the apostle and the high priest whom we confess." The enemy of our soul wants to throw the kitchen sink at us to get you distracted. We need to stay focused as we make the last advance, the last push for a harvest of souls. So keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Proverbs 4:25 through 27 says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right. Do not turn to the left. That's where the world wants to pull you. Keep your foot from evil." Philippians 3:13 through 14 says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Press forward. Yes. Press forward. Keep moving forward. Think and abide in Jesus Christ. What are your thoughts being filled with? Because the media wants you to think a certain way, and so does this world, and so does the enemy of our soul. It's called a distraction. It's called an illusion. Are your thoughts being filled with Christ? We have to make war with those thoughts that are not of Him. Take him captive, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments for every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When you hear something that is contrary to what the Bible says, when my mind dwells on something besides the Lord for a long period of time, that's... I feel drained. Like, my wife is pretty impressive at treading water. I go about a minute and I am like sinking. You know what I'm saying? You're treading water, and you just feel like you can't go anymore. And when I get tired and exhausted, I find myself reclused. I find myself not being salt and light. It's more like a cloud of doom. But that's why I turn back and I pray to my Lord, give me focus, give me strength. In scripture upon scripture, Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Psalm 91:14-15, because he has set his love, he's focused his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. We need to be walking by the leading of the Holy Spirit, folks. The Holy Spirit points us to the truth, points us to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to meditate on that day and night. True faith is keeping your eyes on Jesus when the world around you is falling apart. And as the famous Jan Markell says, the world is not falling apart, they are falling into place. But the question is, are you abiding in him? Jesus' words. I am the true vine. John 15. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. When you're abiding, guess what happens? The things you ask for are of him. They're of him. They're for his glory. They're not for your own profit, for your soul. Your soul prospers. By this my Father is glorified. What? That you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Many of us struggle with so many things, and we get weighed down with the trials of life, and if we would focus on God, we would understand that these things are just so little compared to an eternity with him. That's why he tells us to be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I exalt thee is what we sang today. Yes, the oceans are raging. The mountains are shaking. The nations are raging. There's rumors of wars all around, yet we are told to be still. when we are not still, our mind is going to be filled with so much noise from the trials around us. That's why sometimes you just need to kind of pull aside, get into your prayer closet, and get alone with Him. Be still before Him. Allow Him to calm your fears and your worries, just as He calmed the storm, as He was sleeping still on the boat, and the disciples were all in a tizzy of what's going to happen. Peace. Be still. God is who He says He is. He is our shelter. He is our provider. He is our healer. He is our strength. And when you're focused on God in the midst of trials, that shows a heart that trusts in the Lord. That means your faith is being exercised. Guess what? Satan in hell does not like that. We are overcomers. We are victors in Christ. The gates of hell will not prevail. Nothing in hell can scare a heart that trusts the Lord. You must focus on the Lord. There are times in your life when you sit and you worry, and guess what? That just shifts your attention. Or we veer off track. We go back to the mud. Repent. Go back to your first love. God, First John says, God is faithful to forgive. Shift your focus back vertical. Be praying. Make your petitions known to the Lord. When you pray with Him, you're communing with Him. Is it a relationship or is it one-sided? We speak to Him when we pray, but praying is also listening for His voice, folks. Developing and continuing in our prayer life gives us the right perspective. Perspective is everything. A spiritual perspective is what we need. God, let me see with Your eyes. Do you remember when Elisha prayed for his servant that his eyes would see? Instead of seeing the armies of the Syrians, he looks back and he sees the angel army of the Lord behind them. As you and I speak to the Lord throughout our day, we are naturally more focused on Him. Little things, big things, we come to the Lord with all our cares. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Be in an attitude, an atmosphere of instant prayer. Worship takes our thoughts and focus on Jesus, our soon returning King. Stir one another up. Edify one another in good works. Why do we do that? Because we're at war, folks. We are at war. And it's intense. And it's spiritual warfare going on. So you need to be dressed for battle. Ephesians 6:10-20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. It's all around. Yeah. And it's all around. Yeah. Therefore, because of that, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, the truth that sets us free, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, His way of doing things, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, because it gives me peace to know that I can rest in the Lord, above all taking the shield of faith in which you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Boom, catch him, boom, catch him, boom, catch him. Because I stand in faith, I can stand behind it to quench those fiery darts. And I take the helmet of salvation, of which the Lord redeemed me. And I have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's my offensive weapon to push back against Satan, just as Jesus gave us the example in the desert. praying always. There it is again, praying without ceasing, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Because the Spirit leads us in all truth. Being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. When the Holy Spirit is leading you, there is a holy boldness that can come inside you to share the truth. Because you're not ashamed. For which I am an ambassador in chains. He wears it proudly. I'm an ambassador of heaven. I'm not of this world. That in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. See the world for what it is. A sin-filled place of desperate need that needs the light of Jesus Christ. The darker this world is to us, the more clearly the light of Christ will stand out. When you're in a dark room, it's not hard to focus on a light. Just a flicker of a match expels the darkness. Those who stay focused on Christ will find their perspective on worldly things changing. Do you not feel that? I think that's what the Lord's been doing the last couple of years. Shaking things to let us not have such a firm grasp to this world. The things of this world. It also gives us the right perspective that we don't want to be here much longer. We want to go home. A heavenly home where there's no more toils, no more snares, and no more sin. But until then, renew your mind daily. And by renewing our mind daily, that gives us focus as we hear his words and instruction. Romans 12, 1 to 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. If you are renewing your mind daily by reading his word, guess what? You won't conform to this world. Because the scriptures, John 5:39 says, they testify of me. That's what Jesus said. The scriptures testify of me. Colossians 3:1-4, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. He's sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. We focus on things above, remembering Christ is seated in the place of glory and power. And the reason for that command is also given because we have been raised to new life with Christ. To focus on the things above means not on earthly things, because we've died to self. And that helps us to stay focused on Jesus Christ. And the worse things get on this earth, the closer we are to seeing our redemption. Amen? Amen. Jesus is coming, folks. Are you ready? Because if what you see on the earth scares you now, I'm telling you, you can have a hope, an eternal hope. Because the nearness of the rapture, the nearness of God's wrath to be poured out, can be indicated not by things happening at incredible speed and tenacity, but the ferocity at which it's coming. John Howler, someone I follow, a prophecy teacher, likes to talk about acceleration, conversion, logistics, and understanding. You know, the book of Revelation is the only one that gives you a blessing for reading it and knowing it. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. And things are fast and furious, just as birth pains, contractions intensify as the baby gets closer to coming out. My question is, at the beginning of this year, did you picture 2022 to be exactly where it is today? Did you picture 2020 to be the way it was? You remember January of 2020? Do you remember how quickly things changed in March? That's just a glimpse, folks, of the changes that are happening. And that grip of totalitarian control is tightening. But I rest in this, and I take heart in this, that though I don't know behind the scenes of what the world leaders are doing, I take heart to know that the Lord knows everything. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. That is Psalm 2. We look to a future to which Christ will make all things right. Still, he says, I have overcome because of our faith. We are overcomers because of our faith in him. And it also means we can have peace even in the midst of perilous times. You got to keep your focus. Focus. Take heed. Be aware. Be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of deception. Be aware of the love of many waxing cold. Be aware of lawlessness. Because things can get quickly very turbulent in a short period of time. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. We are looking for the joy to come because of the Lord and what he has done. Eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. He loves you with an eternal love. An unfailing love. Now is not the time to put off planning for eternity. If you've been delaying until later to call on Jesus to save you, that later is now. It's here and right now. There's going to come a time when the door is shut. And those left behind will know how big of a mistake they have made. I don't know when that time comes. I feel we are in the season, and that is the sense of the urgency and the soberness of which I have shared this message with you. But I said it earlier, the truth is, we are all one breath away from standing before Jesus. Christ is coming. Get your house in order. Christ is coming. Get your house in order. And if you don't know Christ, admit you're a sinner and you need a Savior. There's none righteous, not one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, death penalty. The death penalty. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a free gift. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Put your faith and trust in him today. I look forward to a day when we are in his presence forevermore. where hurt will no longer exist, sickness will be gone, and we'll be in the midst of perfection, just as the way He created it in the first place. But until then, I'm going to trust for Him to see me through. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I have shared the message You've laid on my heart. I love You, Lord. I hope I have honored You. In the word that You laid on my heart to share with them, this body, that this body would be edified. This Church of Philadelphia, holding fast to faith, not wavering. And that we would love one another and encourage one another as we go out into the week and we get beat up for Your glory, Lord, for Your kingdom. Oh, what a day it'll be when we enter into presence with You. But until then, hold us fast. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. You're dismissed.